Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Saran Chim Deloach was born in Cambodia. When she was 6 years old, her country fell into the hands of the Khmer Rouge communists and their notorious leader, Pol Pot. The Khmer Rouge ruled Cambodia from 1975 to 1979, and during these 4 years of communist rule, 2.5 to 3 million people out of a population of 7 million died of execution, starvation, and disease. By percentage, perhaps the greatest genocide of modern history. Out of this backdrop, Saran shares how, even in the midst of life's most horrific tragedies, God's hand is still at work for our good. We pause just a moment at the beginning of our show to remind you, whatever moments you face right now, God's hand is at work for your good. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and mine and ours. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash our sins away. Oh, how God loves you, my friend. And not only that, but he was buried. And 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today, dear one, calls you to himself. Whatever you face, whatever challenge it might be, you can have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Saran's husband, Pastor Blaine Deloach, is also with us today, and he has a unique story to tell. As you will soon hear in this two-part feature, Pastor Blaine and Saran Deloach. Blaine, Saran, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. Appreciate it.
Saran, Cambodia in the 70s, Pol Pot, Khmer Rouge. What was it like for you growing up there?
Well, you know, during the time that I was growing up there, I didn't know any other world. However, I thought all the children around the world was going through the same thing that I was going through. What the government did, when they took over, they evacuated the entire population of the people in the city, and they sent them out to the countryside, and they separated the families. They sent the children, 10 and above, to youth brigade, like a slave labor camp, and then the men were separated as well and sent to another labor camps, and the women were separated, and then children that were
would be your parents?
Yes, that were 9 years and younger were left behind in the base village to take care of ourselves, pretty much left alone, and perhaps there's like an old lady or somebody who's, you know, who's handicapped to help take care of the children in the village. And the village that I was at was about 20 plus children, and I was the oldest. I was 6 years old. I was the oldest of the children. And at the time, I have a 2-year-old sister with me as well. And so I was her caretaker. And the lady that was in charge, she said that you're old enough, so you need to take care of your sister. So I don't care what you do, just you and your sister can do whatever you want. They also banned education, so there was no school for the children. They banned private property, so we were not allowed to cook at home or have any private, pots and pans and things like that. However, my sister and I, we basically were on our own, taking care of ourselves for perhaps the first year.
While this is going on, parents are gone. Mm-hmm. You have to take care of your sister. What do you remember? Were there atrocities that you had to see or live through during that time?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, that I thought, you know, children all over the world are going through this, so I'm not the only one. But of course, you know, I found out later. Atrocity-wise, they began to purge the people. People who work for the government, like military, civil workers, doctors, people with fair skin, they consider them, I think the old French called the bourgeoisie or rich people. And so they began to take them away for execution. When they would take them during the night, they would come and call for them. People who are considered, that they have fair skin mainly, that they were foreigners. And so the atrocity as far as, you know, as through my young eyes was my sister who 1 year into the revolution, she became ill basically from starvation. And so she died within the year. And at her death, there was no mourning. There was no funeral service. She was sick about 3 days. At that time, my mother was allowed to come to take care of her, take her to what they call the hospital, but it was a place waiting to die. And I was sent away to my grandparents' village. But on the third day, I came, of course, walk on foot to come visit my sister. My sister had passed away. My mother had been sent back to her labor camp. My father never knew about my sister's death. So as far as my personal just sadness was about, it was just about my sister that I never had a chance to mourn her death or, you know, to see the closure of that, because death was there was no, you know, no recognition of the loss of the people, so we were worth less than animals during that time.
How did you survive? How did you leave?
You know, that's a miracle. That was just a miracle. So we were living like this for several years. However, I did not find this out until later. My mother, she had prayed. She had cried out. Her exact words were, "To the Most High God, if you exist, take us out of this living hell." I tell you, you know, when people use the word, you know, go to hell, you know, so carelessly, I feel like we've experienced that hell. However, I know now, looking at that, there's worse hell than what we will ever experience. But how we came about was a miracle in disguise, or the Vietnamese, which, you know, it's the country that is still in communism. They invaded Cambodia. Cambodia had been fighting with the Vietnamese. And during that time, all the leaders who were controlling each of the camps, they themselves were running to escape, you know, the Vietnamese. And my family, we came together. And my father was still living. And then at the time, you know, I have an oldest brother and a younger brother. We all got together, and we came into the capital city of Cambodia called Phnom Penh. We lived there for about 6 months. My dad, who was a former Air Force with the former government, began to work with the Vietnamese government. However, they wanted my father to go to Hanoi, which is Vietnam's current capital city, for re-education. But my father, who's, you know, he's aware a little bit of Vietnamese government and all that, and so he said, even with this government, it's still there's instability in the country. So he wanted to come to the border to join his former government, the force that was supposedly supported by international, to reclaim their country. However, my mother said, "You are not leaving me with the children," because they've been separated for 4 years.
In the Cambodian language, how say for us what your mother said was her prayer in your language. How would it have sounded? How did it sound to the Most High God when she prayed?
Oh, prayer. The Ahle prayer, prayer the Kapoor Bumpot, but Praang mean prayer, so Praang, Song Kru Yang, or Chang Pi, Narotni. You know, the interesting thing about Cambodia is it is a Buddhist culture. Their national religion is Buddhism. However, there's an old tale that they believe in the Messiah. There's a word for the Messiah. You know, that they believe that there is a Messiah, the Savior of the world. They, like the old Cambodian, they know that in their hearts. So it's so neat to see how, you know, the scripture says God put, you know, the true God in their hearts.
Eternity.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
In our hearts. Exactly. Yeah, Danny, I was just thinking, as Saran shared, one of the things that, as she was, you know, mentioning about her mother praying this prayer, and I could tell, you know, I know a little Khmer because we lived there for several years. And Khmer is the actual language, how you would express the language and the people instead of Khmer. Khmer would be the French word, but Khmer is how they would pronounce it. So anyway, as she was speaking Khmer, I noticed that in her English translation, she didn't give it exactly the way her mom prayed. Her mom prayed, you know, to the Most High God, you know, if you exist, then I pray that you would deliver us from this hell so that we may come to know you.
That's right. So
later that's going to be an important part of the story.
We need to come back to that. We need to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shall. So we shall.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Take us back there. Take us back, Saran, to how God answered that prayer. Some of the depictions I get are more theatrical. I remember as a boy, really, watching The Killing Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And Hang Noor played the part of Dith Prawn.
Yeah.
And seeing the atrocities of what took place. Mm-hmm. You lived in it.
Yeah. Yes.
You lived through it. Mm-hmm. God answered the prayers of your mother in the Khmer language.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Most High God
does
His saving grace. Stay with us. We'll be back with you.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You know, movies are one of those vehicles by which, through media, we're able to see a different part of the world. You can get a glimpse of, maybe more than a glimpse, get a real sense of how people live. And in times of great, great tragedy, the saddest moments of human history can be depicted, one of which was depicted in the movie The Killing Fields that we spoke about before our break. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Saran Deloach and her dear husband, Pastor Blaine Deloach of Palisades Baptist Church, are here in studio with us. You can find out more about Palisades Baptist and their ministry, palisadesbaptist.org, and find out more about The Good Life at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this podcast, maybe you're tuning in right now, you can get this podcast in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. So, Ron, take us back. We talked about the movie. It is graphic. Graphic, I mean, I think it's back in the 80s when it came out.
Yes.
I still remember the last scene where Dithpran walks over the hill after all that he had been through, all the torture, the sufferings, what he had to bear and what he had to see. He comes over the hill and he sees a red cross, and in the background the music, John Lennon's song Imagine, is playing. As a boy, it evoked tears and an emotional response from a teen.
Right.
But you lived through it. Your family lived through it.
Yes.
But what was your parents' take? Did they get to see the movie? Did they?
Yes, that was the movie that came out in 1985. I was a 14-year-old. We all, as a family, went to see the movie. And in fact, that was the only movie that my parents have ever gone to see a movie at a theater. Even to this day, they haven't gone back to a theater to see any movie. You were mentioning about the scene, how Dithpran came up and on top of the hill, he overlooking down below was a camp, the international camps. Well, my family, we had similar trek, which, well, I believe all Cambodian people went through similar trips, journey to escape the country. My memory of our journey was we left our home, well, our place of living at the time, from Phnom Penh, Cambodia, which is the capital city. We left under the cover of night. We somehow, my parents arranged with four other families for us to sneak out in the back of a kind of like a merchandise truck. We were all sitting in this merchandise truck with the cover on. We were sitting on the bed of the truck. Our journeys took us over 2 weeks. Finally, we got to the border of the Thailand and Cambodia. We waited about 4 nights for the right people to smuggle us out of Cambodia. And during that time, there was no money. There was no monetary system. It had been abolished, you know, by the Khmer Rouge the last 4 years. So the people, how they use things to barter was gold, rice, salt, dry fish. Those were the commodity that used to trade and barter. So my parents and their 4 other friends, they spend their gold and precious stones to pay these human smugglers into the Thai border camp. So we had a leader similar to what Dit Prom did in the movie, had somebody lead us. And I vividly remember the journey began about 2 in the morning. We were awoken, and I was, you know, 10 years old at this time. And we were to walk behind these leaders, single file. We are not to walk on our own. There were a group of 30 people, and so we single file walking so that we won't, you know, if we step off to the right or to the left, we may step on landmines, just what depicted in the movie. And that's exactly what happened. We had to strictly follow our leaders. And we came to several camps. Finally, the camp that Dit Prom showed in the movie was called Khao I Dang, and that's the camp with barbed wires that set about 12 feet high with the razor edge type of wire to prevent actually the Khmer Rouge from coming in and shooting, because at the previous camp, that's what happened. And my family, that was like our third camp we came to. And so, yes, the memory of that movie, it really, you know, it's like that's similar journey that I went through, but was a lot longer than the 2 hours showed.
When you said two, I thought you were going to say 2 hours. When you said 2 weeks.
Yes.
How about guns, shooting, hearing shots? Did you experience that as you made your way to freedom?
Yes. Yes, I have faced death, you know, of course, the death of my sister. And then there was this young lady during the Khmer Rouge that was kind of like my playmate, since we didn't have to go to school. We were kind of partner. There was no other children. Well, one night at this time, this is, of course, you know, my story is kind of, right now it's kind of jump all over, but one incident was I was, somehow I ran, I left the village, I just took off, follow my parents, my mother. So I ended up at a camp where my mother was camping, and at her camp there was this lady who has a child also, and she and I became kind of like friends and partner. But one night during the night about 11 p.m., two soldiers came to ask this lady and her 8-year-old daughter to escort them to the next village. Well, what had happened was she had been sick she's just frequently a sick person, complained that she's sick, and so, which means she wasn't working very hard. So they took her and her daughter supposedly to escort to another village, but basically they took her to be executed. And the whole camp heard 2 shotguns. Normally, they don't waste any, you know, bullets on people, but in this incident, they did. And then during the camp, there was a big breakout of war that I was separated from my parents once again, and I had witnessed a dead body in a ditch. Also, I had witnessed a newscaster who got shot on the leg, but he was still panning his camera with all the mayhem that people were running. And then another incident during the camp called Khao I Dang, in the camp, my father, he was kind of like like our little section leader. And, you know, as I said, they have 6 feet barbed wire around the camp to prevent the Khmer Rouge to come in. However, they still have human smugglers still coming in. And my father got shot because, you know, there was some noises during the night on the edge of the where we were living. So there are several occasions that I had witnessed the guns. And in fact, even up through my college years, when there's loud thunders and heavy rain, it would bring me back to the thunderous noise of the bombing. Before the Khmer Rouge took over, there were lots of bombings during the 70s. My family would go into the bomb shelters pretty frequent throughout my growing years from the 70s to 75.
What did you feel when you came over and you saw the camp, the Red Cross, the international camp?
Mm-hmm.
What did it evoke in you?
Just a different world that I didn't know exists. My family, we somehow, my father, I felt like he's like an Abraham of his clan, really. He left Cambodia not knowing where he was going. Mm-hmm. In fact, my grandparents refused to leave the country We didn't know where we were going, really. And then at the camp, there was many organizations. There were Christian organizations everywhere. But in our case, we didn't go to church. That wasn't our attraction. However, my parents somehow got a hold of a real thick Cambodian Bible, the New and Old Testament all together. And, you know, because it was so thick, the pages were very thin. And so my father, you know, in Cambodia, they roll loose tobacco. And so my father, I didn't know how to read or write Cambodian until I came to the refugee camps. And we lived there for 2 years. My father used the Bible as his cigarette roller. And our joke in our home is that he used to smoke the word, and now he eats the word. Because every morning, Cambodian, my father was also a former Buddhist monk, and they like to say things out loud, to read things out loud. And so my dad, about 5:36 in the morning, he would read his Bible out loud. And for me as a high schooler and a college student, when I would go back home, and it's like, I can't sleep on Saturday mornings because my father would be reading his Bible. And so I joke in the house, my dad used to smoke the word, and now he's eating the word.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, my family was sponsored by a Christian organization and also by another sponsor. We came to Memphis, Tennessee. When we came, we lived at Midtown, which means, you know, kind of the poorest area of the city. There was a church that began to minister to the Cambodian people, and they began to bus the Cambodian people to this one particular church called Highland Heights Baptist Church. And my family were not going to church yet until we have a friend at our apartment across the hall. And they came to visit this family, but this family was visiting my family in our apartment. And so they came to my apartment instead of going to my mom's friend's apartment. And they said, oh, we're from the church. And my mother, she's like, can I go to your church with you? And she invited herself to go to church.
Well, that does say something about outreach or reaching people.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
In this case, the Baptists, among others who are there.
Yes.
They're there in a place of refuge, mm-hmm. in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. You ever wonder about the impact of a mission?
That's
what
right.
What it can do, how God can use you or that mission team or that group, mm-hmm. short term or long term. You are going to places, especially in some of these hot spots, places where people are in dire straits. Mm. Their hearts are open. And isn't that the picture of Christ?
Amen.
That he comes to us. Well, he's there. He's
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
But often when our hearts are most ready is when we are in the lowest point.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's
and
right.
There is a transcendence even of language, maybe even, not just maybe, but even of culture. And not to diminish culture, and not to say that one is better than the other, but the Lord and the gospel message can transcend and enter in to people's lives wherever they are, whatever they're facing, whatever their native language, whatever their culture. And today we have Saran. Her last name is Chin Deloach. She mentioned Tennessee. Her husband is from Tennessee. There is a connection that happened in Memphis, a divinely orchestrated connection, of which they'll speak about more when we come back. Stay with us.
Amen.
Aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, it happens at certain times in our lives, for some more frequently than others. Some are more bent towards this way. And what I'm speaking about are visions of grandeur. great things, marvelous things, things that may be even articulated that if someone were to listen to it, they would say, are you kidding me? Who do you think you are to be having such a thought? And some people let that hold them back because they feel like, well, I'm going to make a move here in what I'm describing, because I think as you're listening, you're probably thinking, well, Danny's going to tell us about dream big, and don't let anybody stop you, and yes, with God all things are possible. And it's true. With God all things are possible.
Amen.
Because he can bring in capacities that we don't have. He can accelerate processes. Yeah. But he can also slow us down. And sometimes we might want to do something grander, at least in our minds.
Yeah.
And we don't do that thing that God has placed right before us. That may seem so simple.
Amen.
Like, how about being at a church? And the church had great plans. But right today, there's a need to work with a certain group of people. And it might not seem glamorous at all. And yet, God says, at this time, at this place, embrace them. Minister to them. I wonder if even that... with regard to our guest today, Saran and Blaine Deloche, that has any bearing for a Cambodian refugee that comes to America, to Midtown, there in the Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Get this program in its entirety, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Find out more about our guests, Palisades Baptist. org, at Palisades Baptist Church.
Amen.
Relating to that rather lengthy introduction, how did it relate to you, impact you there in Tennessee?
Yes, you know, when we first came to America, I didn't know any English, neither were my parents. And as you mentioned, Danny, the church in Memphis there, they reach out to the refugees. You know, when we came to America, my family came to America on December 13, 1981. The climate was freezing cold there in Tennessee for us. You know, we came from the hot, humid of Southeast Asia. Back then, we didn't know about Hawaii. If we had known, we would have requested for us to be dropped off in Hawaii. But the people there... most of the people there didn't really care. You know, they in fact, you know, we were there taking their jobs and whatnot. However, as you know, you mentioned the church, which is the body of Christ, you know, they were Jesus' hands and feet. They reach out to us. They help my families to take me to the doctor. You know, when I first came to America, boy, I needed a medical checkup. I was a 13 year old girl with a pot belly, like a pot belly pig. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen those type of pigs. They just have big belly. I was
I've seen it on TV.
Yeah,
they show hungry children.
Yes. My belly was full of parasites. I had all kinds of worms in my body, in my stomach. After I eat, I would just writhe in pain. You know, we didn't know that that's what was in my stomach. However, you know, I knew it because every time I go to the bathroom, there it was.
Yeah. Saran, I think, one of the reasons why, I think, is because of the story you told about your little sister. To me, the part that's really interesting is... you know, during the 4 years of the Khmer Rouge rule, you basically never saw your parents. And then, so you were the caretaker of your little sister. So, like you said, within about a year there, your sister died of starvation. And you were given basically the responsibility of raising your little sister. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the people weren't fed, you know, much at all.
Yes, that's right.
They didn't even feed the children much at all. Mm-hmm. So you were the one who was kind of responsible, being responsible for her, also feeding her and for her, mm-hmm. You know, survival. And so you dug for roots, you yes. picked bugs, you did whatever you had to do to keep your sister alive.
Yeah.
And however, yourself, yeah. you know, your sister died of mm-hmm. of starvation.
Yeah.
And so, I can tell, and I look back on Dani, on her life, that, you know, you can just feel the emotional turmoil in a little girl's life who felt so responsible for taking care of her little sister, and yet at, you know, 6-7 years old, not being able to do that, you know, just the weight of that being upon, you know, a little girl's shoulders, that I wasn't able to even provide enough for my little sister mm-hmm. so that she could survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so Saran told me afterwards she would cry herself to sleep. You know, every night after her, at least before she had had her sister's presence there during that time. Mm-hmm. And after that, just cry herself to sleep, feeling so lonely. She had yeah. nobody, just being orphaned for 4 years. I think to go back to what she said, the parasites, all the rest. And as you mentioned, you turn on the TV set and you see, you know, Compassion International, you know, Feed the Children, whatever network it is that, you know, shows pictures of those kids in Africa and maybe Asia, stuff like that, that those are real kids, that they suffer. Mm-hmm. And so starvation, even today, is a reality in so many places. And it was a reality for her. And mm-hmm. the reason she had that pot belly, is because she had just mm-hmm. survived that stuff and had just gone through that. Mm-hmm. And so just, I thought about that as you were talking about mm-hmm. the parasites and the mm-hmm. worms and all mm-hmm. that. And yeah. so she has a real kind of a gross story to maybe share real quick.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, as I drive around Hawaii today, I'm just, you know, all those leaves and fruit I've eaten, and I think, you know, if we have to survive, you know, if there's no food shipping in, I think Hawaii would be, we can survive in the wilderness, because there I've eaten a lot of the plants that grow in here in Hawaii. But
you know, our kids are so used to Saran as we drive around saying, oh, I've eat that. Oh, right there. Boy, that's good stuff. And, wow. you know, it's just wow. weeds to us.
Yeah.
So they make those jokes, yeah.
Well, it speaks about the level of desperation.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
the will to survive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think there are many lessons. Gratefulness.
Yes.
Yes.
For,
yes.
Mm-hmm. What someone would look like as a weed,
mm-hmm.
that's Amen. Food to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that...
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever it was, parasites and all,
yes.
Saran,
mm-hmm.
you're here today.
Mm.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Thank God for your ability to communicate,
mm-hmm.
your willingness to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for your parents. Thank God for your mother
mm-hmm.
who prayed
mm-hmm.
in your native language
mm-hmm.
yes.
to the living God,
mm-hmm.
That's
God
right.
above all gods.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
And thank
mm-hmm.
God for God.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Amen.
He is a God mm-hmm. who hears and answers prayers.
Yes.
And sometimes when he doesn't answer when and how we expect,
yes.
yeah.
he's still there.
He's still there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
We'll come back with more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Dani Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Dani Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, I've been lonely before. How about you? Have you ever experienced loneliness before in your life? Oh, what level does this loneliness come? Well, for you, lonely is lonely. And for me, lonely is lonely. Yeah. For Saran Deloach, loneliness was crying herself to sleep year after year. Not day after day, or not hour after hour. Mm. Year after year, with a thought, a pervading thought, that I could not provide enough roots, bugs, to find, I mean, there was no infrastructure, no support system to get food, but to provide something for my little sister to eat, and my little sister is no longer here. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the guilt? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine feelings of regret, thoughts that a little mind would go through, crying yourself to sleep? Well, I think someone like that has something to say to us today when we're feeling stricken by the pain of loneliness. And you know what? Anybody who's ever been lonely knows that it could become even a physical pain. Yeah, it can get that bad. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show, and it might sound somewhat contradictory to speak of loneliness and the good life, but there is something beneath that that maybe expands or extracts the true goodness of life when we feel lonely. Find out more about Saran and her husband, Pastor Blaine Deloach. He's the pastor at Palisades Baptist Church, their ministry there, palisadesbaptist.org. And to find out more, The Good Life, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Saran, let's go back to loneliness. Did God teach you any lessons of life in that season?
Yes, He did, because during my loneliness, as I've said, you know, I think many of us can say we've questioned God, why, you know, why this happened to me? And I remember thinking, why was this happening to me? Why was this happening to my people, you know? Why were the Khmer Rouge so bent on killing everybody? And I didn't know the answer then. Because see, what happened is my sister as I was taking care of my sister, she passed away, my guilt was, and you know, I've collected bugs and roots to feed my sister and I, but that wasn't enough. She passed away, and I also had another sister that passed away in 1973 during the country's struggle, the fight between the Republican government and the Khmer Rouge. And so I had two sisters that were younger than me pass away. And, you know, during that time, I didn't get my answer. Why was this happening to me? Why was I so lonely? Why my parents weren't here? You know, I was an orphan, not... And I know perhaps there's orphans out there, people whose parents left them. But my parents left me not by their choice. They left me because the government made them. The way the government controlled the people is they use it as kind of like a pawn, I guess, for the people. If you don't do what we say, we're going to kill your wife or your children. So... I was alone because the government, the Khmer Rouge government, separated my families. And so I didn't know the answers then why I was, you know, going through it. However, until I came to America and became a believer that God's answer, part of my prayers was through Jeremiah 1:5. It says that... what does it say, honey? It escaped my mind at this moment. Before you were born, I've ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. You know, as far as being a prophet, I think God is ordained to be a person that share Christ's love to the others for me. And that's what I took it to mean. And because I said, you know, why did you allow me to survive and not my sisters? And I've always had that guilt feeling before I became a believer, and now I know why, that he saved me, that he, you know, so that I may make his name known to other, and that's, I feel that that's the purpose that God allowed me to survive the Khmer Rouge.
Amen. Well, you're here in Hawaii today, and it's by divine appointment.
Amen.
You're married to Blaine, he's a man from Tennessee, and I think it's of utmost importance for us to begin the dialogue of how you even met and what God was planning to do. How does he take someone from the killing fields and connect her with a man from Tennessee? They're gonna. You have children. Your kids. You have four kids.
Yes.
Have and these children are each gifted in their own way, but yes. You're raising them. And the crux of it all, and I think we need to spend even a brief moment talking about how God, in your life, has orchestrated things that didn't seem to make sense, but through that gave a sense of purpose and orchestration where you can see the hand of God purposefully moving. Blaine, are there times when you have known theologically, biblically, that God is in control, but personally, when you look at your life, feel like it sure didn't seem that way?
Yeah, sure. I guess this was, 10 years into our marriage. We were married in 92. And regarding that, I mean, I got the better end of the deal on that by far. And so, 10 years into our marriage, this was, this is 2002, actually, Christmas of 2002. And I was diagnosed with I began to have real bad headaches. We were going through mission training for our organization, the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I began to have really bad headaches. And at the very end of our training, we had 2 weeks when we were going to go back to Memphis with our families. before we're going to head off to Cambodia, where eventually we went as missionaries. And so began to have real bad headaches. And then while on the phone with my mother about a week into our two-week stay there in Memphis, my mother lived about an hour away in Jackson, Tennessee. I was on the phone with her, and just all of a sudden, my head began to shake violently, and ended up having a seizure, a grand mal type of seizure. And so I couldn't control my movements at all. So Saran and her little brother took me out to the car, rushed me to the hospital. They did a CAT scan of my brain, and I had a brain tumor. And they did emergency surgery the next morning right away. And it happened that I made it through. I survived. And I remember sitting in the doctor's office and him, you know, several months later, him just kind of shaking his head and saying, you know, I don't know why you're here. You know, it's just what you've been through is amazing that God would leave you here. And so I had months after months of speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, vocational therapy, all the rest. So I had to go through the full gamut of stuff. And so, yeah, I've definitely seen God's hand in, you know, my life circumstances, and then the relationship that now I have with Saran, and the fact that God placed her in my life, her being from Cambodia and her being through all that she had gone through. And then at that period of my life, even though I had just gone through, which was probably the biggest ordeal, difficulty of my life, that God's hand was still upon us, still preparing, you know, me physically so that I would be able to get back to the point to where we could go initially to where we wanted to go, to Cambodia. And we were there about 3 to 4 years. One of the greatest periods of our life. We loved reaching out to the Cambodian people. Saran had actually said when she became a Christian and all that, even maybe 10 years after, even while we were in college, she said, you know, I'd never go back to Cambodia. You know, the what I experienced and all that, I would never go back.
I was wondering about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. When I was 16 years old, you know, I became a Christian just 1 year after my family came to America. I accepted the Lord as my Lord, Christ as my Lord and Savior. But at 16, I was in 11th grade. I had rededicated my life to the Lord in one of just a youth revival, that I would do whatever the Lord called me to do. And I remember thinking, yeah, I'm ready to go to Africa, married to a doctor, you know, and go there, but not Cambodia. I would never go back to Cambodia. However, Blaine, after he graduated from the first seminary, he went on a mission trip to Cambodia in 97. And during this time, Cambodia was still pretty very you know, there's still military carrying toting guns everywhere. And he said, I think God is calling us to Cambodia as missionaries.
So here is a moment of a pause.
Yeah.
God is leading you back. Mm-hmm. I wondered about how and why and how it happened.
Yeah.
And Blaine, the Lord had given you a vision, mm-hmm. and you were on your way getting trained, and then this interlude of a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lengthy period of time where you had to recover, learn how to speak mm-hmm. again, learn mm-hmm. how to process things again.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God used that as a way
mm-hmm.
to prepare, perhaps even catapult you into a new season of life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely.
And we've got to carry on this conversation because mm-hmm. there's so much more with both of you.
Mm-hmm.
In our next part two of this two-part mm-hmm. feature, let's go there. Because there is hope in the interludes of life mm-hmm. that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you've been encouraged by the story of Saran and Blaine Deloach. You can find out more at palisadesbaptist.org. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a message for you there.
presentation of the gospel. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guests, Saran and Blaine Deloach. Find out more again, palisadesbaptist.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Stay with me now for part two. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.